Thank you for coming out tonight, and big thanks to St. Louis Public Radio for hosting us and for carrying this show for more than a decade. Over the years, we've probably heard from about half of you here. Thanks for correcting my grammar. So as you know, every week, to the best of our knowledge, is built around a theme. And when we were planning this show and trying to figure out what we'd be talking about tonight, everyone said, please, just not the Gateway Arch. You know, can we have a theme that is not on the keychains and the mugs at the airport? But the arch turned out to be a stubborn metaphor. We'd be in a staff meeting, pitching ideas, and no matter what the story was, someone would always wind up saying, you know, that's kind of a gateway moment. So finally, we just gave up. So what do we mean by gateway moments? Well, I mean the big transformational moments of your life, the really significant moments that take your life in a whole new direction. We've all had them. I'm 56. I've given birth twice. I've been married twice. And what I know about those gateway moments is that they are almost by definition uncomfortable. In the case of childbirth, excruciating. But breaking through to new places takes work. That's true personally and also collectively. And you here in St. Louis, you know a lot about that. So we thought maybe you'd have some things to teach us. For example, 100 years ago, the worst race riot in American history happened here, and it helped spark the civil rights movement. Black Lives Matter became a national movement here. So talking about racism, about structured, systematic inequality, it's really hard. But those conversations can be gateway moments. They can lead to real change. So let me welcome two people who are making some of those conversations happen nationally and on the ground. Welcome, please, Camille Stanley and Tim Lloyd, the producers and co-hosts of St. Louis Public Radio's podcast about race and class, We Live Here, and our own producer, Charles Monroe Payne.
So I want to play a clip of you guys talking about your podcast and talking about how you write your scripts. For those of us in radio, you know, scripts are sacred because that's the words you say that are in your mouth. And I want to play a clip of you guys talking about how you write your scripts.
So the way that we write the show, we write it together.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that means you writing words to put into my mouth and me writing words to put into your mouth.
And I can clearly remember a few times where one of us will veto a line.
Right.
Because we don't like the wording, but more often it's something more weighty, more serious, where I will say, you know, as a black woman, that line does not work. This line is, you know, presenting this issue or whatever from a white savior perspective, and we will not be using it in this show.
Yeah.
You know, I when I listen to your I like your podcast, and it's not just for the content, but it's the relationship that the two of you have. And it's a relationship that I think a lot of white people are afraid of. A lot of white people want to do the right thing, but they're afraid they're going to make a mistake. They're afraid that the relationship they have with this black person, that black person becomes their explainer, and that person doesn't want to do that either. So everyone just stops. The white people stop and don't move it forward. As you're a journalist,
mm-hmm.
How do you handle not being the explainer, not handling that with him and with the listeners?
Sometimes I just refuse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it's not my job to, make your white guilt go away. I don't have white guilt, so I can't help you with it. that's honestly something you probably need to talk to your white friends about.
Right.
Yeah. And so I will just push back when people try to, like, put me in that role.
But it is your problem. And not only is it, it's as a white guy, but also this is your job. Mm-hmm. And you get schooled, right? She's like, no, I ain't right. You're not going to write that for me. Mm-hmm. And she's saying, you know, this is coming from your white privilege. I don't know, if somebody said that to me, I'd feel bad if somebody said that to me. And I'm not feeling bad isn't the worst thing in the world. But, like, how do you handle that? How do you handle a meeting over a script where someone says, nope, dude, that's bright privilege, mic it off with a red pen?
I think maybe the fear that you're describing is because a lot of white people don't have genuine relationships with anyone who's not white. I think the reason why Camille can check me and I can be like, good point, is because we like each other. We know each other, you know? And that's how maybe you really get over the fear, is step outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, recognize your privilege and do all of those things, but step outside yourself and say, you know, if I make it about my guilt, that's making it about me, and that's not fair, you know? I mean, if we're writing a script together and it's a shared script, then I have to be open to being checked. And because we have a real relationship and how we write, that's okay.
And it goes both ways.
Sure.
I mean, like, you know, like when I said, like in the clip, like we give each other veto power, like we really do give each mm-hmm. other veto power. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff that like I'll write and he'll be like, nah.
Yeah. Now you guys have a tagline.
We do.
That I really like. And your tagline is that your show is for people on the woke spectrum.
That's a new
tagline. Yeah, that's a new tagline.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I giving away the new thing?
You want to hear the old one? It's really catchy. You want to hear the old one?
What's the old one?
Are you ready for the most public radio tagline of all time?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Race, class, power, poverty, systems, and the people they touch.
Boring.
I mean,
rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Tell us how you feel about that. I think you're bossing here. So, a radio show for people on the woke spectrum. But the thing about having a show for people on the woke spectrum, I get that. I, of course, immediately want to put myself on the woke spectrum, on the enlightened continuum, wherever that space is. I don't know where it goes, but, you know, I want to be on there at least. But then I think, well, what about my racist uncle? Or I start thinking about other people that are not on the woke spectrum,
mm-hmm.
who need to be awoke. They're mm-hmm. just, they're not, that's just, your show's not for them?
No.
All right. No, it's good. It's good. I will not give him the podcast. I will not give him the podcast. I have a question for both of you, and I would like to start with you and ask you both the same question, and that is, you've been working on a show on race and class.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issues on race in this city, issues from Ferguson to segregation to everything in between. How has it affected? How have you changed as a human being by working on the show?
Yeah, so I tend to think in sort of concrete terms, concrete examples. I was writing something a few weeks ago, and I think the line was after Michael Brown's death, young black activists took to the streets and demanded equity from systems built on racist ideas. Now, I can say that very calmly now, and very clearly now. I could not do that 2 years ago. You know, 2 years ago, I would have put like this, that idea might have been in there, but I would have like layered this beautiful, like public radio fondant on top of it. Like,
I know the fondant.
You know, yes. What we do.
I have consumed
it. And so I wouldn't have been that direct with it. And I think, you know, personally, and I was thinking about this the other day, so my wife and I have a 3.5-year-old son. And so working on this show, and learning how to be direct with these issues and communicate that directness, I'm also learning how to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I often will catch myself thinking, what kind of dad would I have been if I wasn't thinking as directly as I am now about these issues? And those are real gut check moments for me.
Mm. What about you? What is working on the show? How has it affected you personally?
When I took this job, I knew that it was going to be a challenge professionally and personally. Like, professionally, because I'm a former newspaper reporter, I was switching mediums, and that was going to be different. I was moving to a brand new city that I had no connection to. That's going to be different. But I also knew that it was going to take something out of me personally, because I, in my previous job, although I covered issues of race and did investigations about stuff like that, that wasn't like, I wasn't immersed in it. And so coming here and also being a black woman, I knew that it was going to be taxing, and that it was going to take something out of me, and it has.
Yes.
It's been, in a lot of ways, it's been very fulfilling, but in a lot of ways, it's been very draining.
One last question. Say we wake up in a month from now and it's, you know, I don't know, the race problem has been solved. I know that's not probably going to ever happen, but so there's no more racism. The race problem has been solved. Classism is gone. and you still love radio and you both want to work together, what what would you podcast if you didn't have to deal with the problems?
Oh, we have so many ideas.
What would, you, what would be your first podcast if you didn't have to deal with society's problems?
Food.
Yeah, that was about it. We have talked extensively at the about the barbecue show that we were going to do together. Yeah.
So it'll be food. So if you solve the race problem, then you can do the barbecue show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we could do the barbecue show now.
Well, thank you very, very much. And, you know, we've got to say goodbye. This is Tim Lloyd and Camille Stanley. They host and produce We Live Here.